from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, on the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world, on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, which I've been working on diligently. Believe it or not, I've been working on the website, and the mobile part of things, it would just appear that the company that I'm using doesn't really get it when it goes to putting the mobile thing together. So I'm working on it. Maybe I'll change the format. Well, I'm planning on changing the format of the website so it's more mobile friendly, but for now, please go to the desktop site, wildmichiganradio.com. You can see our great sponsors like Not Just Guns, also Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, all have great links on there, and we're updating the news that we get and things that pertain to the show as often as it comes in. So we want you to be a part of what's going on, probably even more so than before. You can get our podcast there as well, and we appreciate everybody and your patience and sticking around with us here. But it's a sad show for us this week because a longtime friend, I'm not going to say we hung out a lot, I'm not going to say we hunted and fished together, but he was a friend. He was a brother in radio and an outdoorsman with a show and a radio station owner down in Jackson and Hillsdale, Jamie McKibben, a K105.3 owner and a couple stations in Hillsdale, passed away suddenly on Monday due to a boating accident. He and a friend, Bud Miller, lost their lives on Monday down in Ohio. Not really sure what happened. Weather may have been a factor. They were down there hunting and fishing on a lake in Ohio, and the boat has not been found. So there's a lot of mystery behind this thing, and all we know for sure is he leaves behind a wife, a 15-year-old son, radio stations, and a ton of people that love this guy. And we were one of them. He was a fellow radio brother and an outdoors radio host down in Jackson. And that city right there is one of those very tight-knit communities. It's not huge, but it's definitely one that will come together, and I hope they support, get his family all the help that they need during this difficult time. And Jamie, our thoughts and prayers, brother. We appreciate it. But that being said, it is colder. Some of us want to get out duck hunting, want to get out doing some walleye fishing on the big water, but it's a dangerous time. And our good friend Captain Lance Valentine joins us right now. Lance, I hate to put that all on your shoulders before we start, but we know safety no matter what. I mean, no, I don't know the situation, so I'm not going to say he wasn't safe. I mean, this guy was an avid outdoorsman and a hell of a nice guy, good dad and father, but accidents happen. There's no way around it, and that's just it. I mean, that's just the bottom line. So welcome to the show, sir, and how are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, I think we talked a couple of years ago. I lost one of my dad's best friends growing up, the guy we called Uncle Art. He died in a boating accident two years ago, February. He passed away in a boating accident in Florida, so it kind of, anytime I hear that, it hits home. You know, as much time as I spend on the water, as much time as, my guy spend on the water, I'm still amazed. And obviously, we don't know, so I'm talking in general terms here, but I still am really amazed at how many outdoorsmen are complacent with what they do, are not safe in what they do, have a "it'll never happen to me" attitude. Mm-hmm. When they're on the water in the woods, and when something bad like this happens, again, we don't know all the facts, but you always start to draw a few conclusions, because when you see enough things, if it quacks like a duck and swims like a duck and flies like a duck, it's probably a duck. And there are some things that I see all the time with guys with boating safety, specifically, especially in cold water, that I shake my head and go, what are you thinking? And those things come up and they grab you really, really quick, and sometimes you just can't react fast enough.
Lance Valentine's our guest here on Wild Michigan. Lance, I go right to the PFD issue.
Yeah.
About people, it's in my reach or whatever. You know what? Yep. if you, and again, this is we are not casting any aspersions as to what happened on Monday. This is just a general conversation that, oh, it's within my reach. You know, if we go over, I can grab it. No, that's not the case. Mustang makes a great PFD, personal flotation device. It goes around. It's very small. It's not invasive. And in the event you're in 4 inches or more of water, it will self-inflate. Should you get knocked unconscious, which is very possible, probably more than not, in a boating accident situation, you will at least be kept head above water.
I require inflatable PFDs on all my charters. On the polar craft, they will be mandatory next year on the Anger Quest. I've kind of held off on Anger Quest because we had the high rails, but we had a situation down in Ohio where I went to reach for a fish with the net. My feet came out from underneath me. I was on top of the rail. And it can happen that fast, right? It doesn't matter how careful you think you are. And I don't know if we talked about this or not. I'm going to give you just a real quick scenario. We had a little incident on the water this summer where by an accident, we were trolling into the wind. We had 16 lines out on Saginaw Bay. We were trolling into a pretty good wind. And by accident, my first mate, instead of hitting the button for more RPMs on my motor, he actually killed the engine. It's electric. It's a push-start engine. So by the time we figured out what happened, by the time I got up and found neutral with the digital shift, which is hard to find because you don't have that feel of neutral like you do with a cable steer, by the time I got it started again, you know, when I got it started, my first reaction was to take off, you know, get going. Well, we wrapped a bunch of lines on the water, on the prop. Mm-hmm. So now we're in the water. We're kind of dead. We've got, you know, 7-8 lines wrapped around the prop. No big deal. Water temperature 74, 75 degrees. I took off everything but my shorts, put on, you know, we had the big orange PFDs in the boat, hopped in the water to get it all done. And I'm going to tell you, in 74, 75 degree water, in 10 minutes, I was done. I had a hard time feeling my feet. I was cold. I had that orange life jacket on. There was no way I could move because of the way that is. I'm going to tell you, there's no way you ever could have got it on in the water because as I'm trying to stay afloat, and I put mine on before I got in the water, obviously, and I was tied to a rope. But if you had to get in the water and put one of those on, maybe you've got, like you said, on your seat, and you get in the water, and there's your life jacket. You're going down, especially with the clothing that we would have been wearing, you know, Monday. You know, maybe probably some rain gear, some warm clothes, some boots for sure. You're trying to stay afloat. That life jacket's trying to float up. You're trying to get the bottom of that life jacket to go down underwater so you can get your arms. You've got no chance.
Yeah.
You have to have your PFD on. You have to have your PFD on. You have to have your PFD on. And I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off. I'm going to tell you, if you are in the water, in a situation, any situation, and you don't have a PFD on, with the way inflatables are right now, as easy as they are to wear, as cheap as they are, I saw a $60 sale at Bass Pro Shops just yesterday, a coupon for $60 for a self-inflatable PFD. They are non-intrusive. They take 2 seconds to put on. In 2 minutes, you don't even know you have them on.
Right.
You can't even tell you've got them on. I'm going to tell you, the word I'm going to use may offend some people, and I really don't give a shit anymore because I'm tired of it. If you don't have a PFD on when you're in a boat, you're stupid. Things happen so fast. They're called accidents for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's ready for a slip when you go to net a fish off the back of the boat. Nobody's ready for here comes a stump and you have to turn quick around it and the boat kind of goes over. Nobody's ready for a situation where, by accident, something you probably don't even check. I've had this happen to a couple of our friends. Your bilge hose comes disconnected, or the hose from the through-haul input to your live well freezes or cracks or comes undone. And now you've got water in your boat that your bilge pump can't handle, and your boat starts to go down. Nobody plans for those things. That's why they're called accidents.
Right.
Put a PFD on, guys. Just my God. I see guys out duck hunting without a PFD. I see guys in layout boats without a PFD on. Mm-hmm. I just shake my head and go, we're going to lose. What's it going to take, right? Who do we have to have die for us to say, I need to wear a PFD?
Well, you know, maybe. Maybe there's a reason we're talking about it now. Lance Valentine's our guest, Walleye 101. I did it, didn't I? Teaching fishing.
There you go.
Captain Lance Valentine, teaching fishing. We're going to teach more safety and talk about some walleye fishing coming up next here on Wild Michigan.
Thank you. You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Their link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. You can click right through, and also you can look them up at thetruthaboutcwd.com. Their tireless research and work and money being put into CWD research for not only the private facilities, but the health of the whole herd here in Michigan. Very happy to have them on board. And we are talking to Captain Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin' here. And due to a very unfortunate incident that occurred on Monday with a longtime radio friend and radio show host down in Jackson, Jamie McKibben of McKibben Media, who passed away suddenly due to an accident down Ohio while hunting and fishing. We want to cover, and I don't care. Look, like Lance says, I frankly don't care if it pisses you off that we're talking about boating safety in mid to late November, and, you'd rather hear something else, or what, are you just poo-poo the whole thing because, you don't need it. I can reach my PFD anytime I want. It's not the case. Lance, like you said, you're in 73, 74-degree water. Average body temperature, 97, 98 degrees. That's a 20-some degree shift, okay, that we cannot maintain because of the outer temperature, and certain parts of our body are going to be saved, and the majority of which, shut down. Internals will always be the last thing to go when it gets cold. So your extremities are the ones that are going to suffer the most in long periods of cold exposure and water. And 74, 75 may seem awful damn warm, but it's not. You get in a pool, the pool's set at like 9,800 degrees.
Yep.
Okay? Still cold when you get in, unless it's cold outside and you get in a nice warm pool. Okay? There is a shift. There is a change in body temperature from outside to internal that your body has to deal with. And like you said, 20 minutes in the water, you start mumbling.
It's the same way guys ignore small craft warnings because they've got a 22-foot boat, not realizing that, on the Great Lakes, a small craft is, boats that, a small craft are boats that that displace about, 8,500 to 10,000 tons, which most of our fishing boats displace about 3,000 tons. So your 22-foot walleye boat is not even big enough to be a small craft. So people poo-poo that, and the Coast Guard considers cold water anything under 70 degrees. So when they talk about cold water safety, cold water survival, hypothermia kicking in, they start talking about cold water at 70 degrees. So it's not 45 degrees is cold water. 70 degrees is cold water because, you said, that's 20% less than your normal body temperature, 30% less.
And real quickly, if I may, two words, Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's put that into perspective.
I don't know. Anyway, I challenge guys, every year. We do this at Teachin' Fishin' every year. We do a safety module, and I challenge guys to put on the clothes you're going to wear spring in Detroit River, fall duck hunting, fall fishing. Put those clothes on in the middle of summer when you're in a pool. Have no life jacket on. Have your boots on. Hop in the deep end of the pool where you're safe and find out how hard it is to put that life jacket on. Find out how hard it is to tread water as soon as your rain gear and your boots fill up with water. Find out how hard it is to try to get a life jacket on when you're trying to keep your head above water and trying to get that life jacket to go down so you can get your arms in it. I think if you do that, you may realize how fast you're going to die in an on-the-water situation. Just try it this summer. Just try this summer. When you're on the lake this summer, try to get back in your boat after you've been in the water for 15 minutes when the water is warm. Try to get back in your boat. One of the things that we've got a lot of our guys doing, just because we've showed them, a four-step ladder. Have a ladder that goes down 3-4 feet below the surface. There's no way. You got gear on. You're tired. You're wet. You're cold. You're scared, right? Something just happened. Your adrenaline's picking up. There's no way you're going to get your foot up or pull yourself up on the gunwale of the boat. You need a ladder that lets you be in the water at your full body length, barely lift your leg, barely be able to bend your leg and get onto a step and get control of the situation. All those things make a bad accident at least recoverable if you can. Not having those things turns a bad accident into a terrible accident.
Yeah, Lance Valentine's our guest here. Teaching fishing is his thing. You know, and teaching safety. You know, look, if it sounds ridiculous, but look, we're not doing this for our health. I mean, to a degree we are, because, you know, we're reminding ourselves of how fragile life is. But more importantly, we're trying to get people a little bit more hip to what's going on. And these accidents can happen to anyone. And if you saw the weather on opening day of firearm season here in Michigan on the 15th, I mean, we had a huge tree fall right next to my house. I can't imagine. We even saw a video as to what Lake Michigan looked like, you know, on two, that people couldn't cross two because the waves were so big. You know, I mean, and those are lakes.
You had the guys swept off the pier, I think, in Muskegon. So now you've got two or three guys in the water. You got the Coast Guard that now has to go out. So now you put another six, eight people's lives in jeopardy. You know, if you're on the pier this time of year, put on an inflatable PFD. Now, I can't tell you how many guys I get in my boat, especially Detroit River. They get in the boat, I hand them a PFD, an inflatable, and say, hey, you know, like, well, I got to wear it. I go, you don't have to wear it, but we'll come, you know, you can sit right here. We'll be back in 5 hours. So they put it on. They how guys are, I can swim. Shut up. Put your PFD on. And 5 hours later, when they get off the boat, I have to stop them from walking to the truck because they still got my PFD on because they forgot they had it on. So there's no way you can tell me that. And I wear one every day. I mean, I wear one every single day, 150 days a year when I'm fishing, some days 10 hours a day. You don't even know you got them on, right? So don't tell me that they're cumbersome, they bug me, they're too much of this or too much of that. No, you're too much of an idiot to admit that something may happen. It's called an accident, guys. It's called an accident. If we knew we weren't going to get in a car accident, we probably would never wear a seatbelt. But next thing you know, something happens that you have no control over, and you're in the water, or your buddy's in the water. Now you've got to save him. All that stuff it happens so quick. And I've had a few incidents on my boat, and they happen so fast that with all the planning and all the things that I think we do right and all the preparation ahead of time and having everything where it needs to be and having everything labeled and knowing, you know, practicing what my emergency procedures are and having them written down and having them where everybody in the boat can see them, when something happens, it still goes to shit in a hurry, man. I'm telling you, it goes bad fast, even with all the preparation and all the ability that I think I have to handle a situation. When it goes south really, really quick, and you don't have time to think about some little things that should be done ahead of time. So just put that PFD on when your boat leaves. Take it off when you get back. Don't worry about it. Save your life. And forget about, you know what? If you don't want to save your life, forget about saving your life. All of us have friends, relatives, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, nephews that want us to come back. If you don't want to do it for you, do it for them. I can't imagine getting a phone call that one of my friends has died in a boating accident and didn't have a PFD on. It would absolutely destroy me. So wear your PFD.
All right. Lance Valentine's our guest. Guess what? We're going to keep it for another couple of segments here because we want to talk about teaching fishing. Okay, we talked about teaching safety. I think we've done that just barely enough. More coming your way here on Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. And they have a new system there that you can check in and wait in the warmth of your car, and they will notify you by text when it's your turn to come on in because of everything that's going in. These little check-in systems are really cool that they can text you now, and you know, from the courtesy of your car, they say, hey, your turn to come on in. And also, Our friends at Conquest Sense, Doug and Karen Roberts, doing a fantastic job, man. Right now, get that VS1 out, get the EverCalm out, and use them in the outdoors, because this whole rut thing's been going on a little bit longer than we expected, and I've seen some big deer this year. And it's been beautiful because I've been nice and toasty warm watching them from my kitchen window. I don't know how this works for me, but that's where I've seen the most deer, is just going out in my backyard. But we're going to talk a little bit about teaching fishing with our good friend Lance Valentine. I think we've gotten the heavy stuff covered this morning and today. And we're going to talk about things we normally talk about with Lance, and that's teaching fishing, talk about walleye. And, you know, right about now, you know, cautiously getting out onto the water, the big water, Lake Erie, is when, you know, we anticipate that big bite. And how's it been for you guys, Lance?
We've been lucky. We had our four-day fishing education weekend the first weekend in November, and we had, you know, the guys start rolling on Thursday. Our event really runs Thursday night through Sunday morning, and some of the guys started rolling on Thursday. We had four great days of weather. Parts of each day, you know, we were fishing in shirt sleeves and blue jeans. Weather was amazing. Water was, you know, not quite flat calm, but barely a ripple on the water. And the fishing was stupid. I mean, we loaded up with all kinds of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. Never got any, you know, any giants, but, you know, a lot of our guys were, you know, getting 2, 3, 4-man limits in a short amount of time. Out towing crankbaits there in Lake Erie. That it's been good. It was good last weekend. One of our captains went down, did a couple charters at Lake Erie last Friday and Saturday, and freaking just flat out smoked them. When guys were able to get out, you know, we had a couple days of rough weather. I'm sure there's guys fishing today. I was ready to call in dead to work today and just go fishing, but couldn't do that. I had talked to my friend Duran, so I couldn't go fishing today.
Oh, now that's on me.
Thanks for that. I appreciate that. But the fishing is good. Starting to hear some really good reports of fish being caught trolling in Saginaw Bay, you know, out of Linwood, basically from Linwood to the river channel and down to the river mouth of Saginaw. Lots of walleye starting to move in there. Saw a picture the other day of a 3-man limit of, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 pound fish out of Saginaw Bay. Saginaw River's got some smaller fish in it, but every once in a while they get some nice ones. So it's starting, you know. And the last couple of days of weather we had, just that really cold, crappy, you know, had to scrape your windshield and a lot of wind. That's that first really transition from it's starting to be winter to winter is coming. And that's actually good for us fishermen, because that gets those walleyes to go from, okay, I'm kind of hungry, I really need to feed, to, it's happening fast, I need to really feed. So fishing should just get, every day should just get better, 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 and better.
You know, my cousin Ron Heminger, he takes his son Logan down to Erie. They're just massive fishermen. They love walleye. They love their bass angling and things like that. But he said, he goes, you know, I was going to take Logan out on Monday, or on Monday himself, and he says the weather was just so bad, there was just no getting out. There was just nothing smart about going out that day. And look, you know, it's like, I liken this to the first ice thing. Look, man, I know I want to get out like everybody else, but like you and like Bro says, the fish will be there.
Fish should be there. Yeah, the fish should be there. We just seminar, a live seminar last night about fall walleye on the Teaching Fishing Facebook page, and you know, we talked about, you know, look, I know everybody's got a situation. I get it. Everybody has to work. I get all that, right? But, you know, I tell guys all the time, save 4 or 5 vacation days. If you're a walleye guy, save 4 or 5 vacation days for this time of year, because here's what I can just about guarantee you. The weather's going to be crap on Saturday and Sunday. You know, today would have been a day to take off, get to Erie today. If you really want fall walleye fishing, you need to have vacation days in your pocket, because I'm going to tell you, most Saturdays and Sundays, the weather is not great. Those really, really good days like today usually happen during the week, believe it or not. So, you know, if you're serious about fall walleye fishing, you know, save a few of your vacation days and you know, be able to scoot away on a day like today in a day's notice. So, but fishing's good. The guys get out there, you know, inland lakes, you know, places like Burt Lake, Mullet Lake, that have walleyes in them, that, especially the lakes that have deep water. Walleye fishing should be amazing right now. Find steep drop-offs. Find access to deep water. Use your sonar. You should be able to find groups of tightly grouped walleyes that are going to be aggressive, going to be hungry. And actually, once you find them, fairly easy to catch.
Lance Valentine is our guest here on Wild Michigan. We're being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. Lance on the Conquest Sense hotline. You know, you brought up a couple of lakes when we talked to Mark Martin last week, like Mullet Lake. That, I mean, it's always been kind of a vacation-y type place, but it's really turning into a big-time fishing destination.
Yeah, you know, those lakes are really, really good. And I don't want to be too, you know, political, but what's happened is a lot of our little lake gems, Houghton Lake, Lake Neptune. I was just at Lake Neptune the other day. It's where I kind of learned how to fish. I was just at Lake Neptune a couple weeks ago for the first time in 10, 11 years. I'm like, what happened to my lake? So a lot of these lakes that we used to count on for fishing, Houghton Lake, Lake Neptune, a lot of these smaller inland lakes that have weeds that the fishery has really created around the weeds, is the people who live there now don't want weeds. So these lakes that were weed fisheries have been destroyed by the people that live there because whatever reason. So what's happened is these bigger lakes that are much more bait fish, open water dependent, are much more structure fishing dependent, have got a lot more pressure. A lot of the guys learn how to fish them, so they're getting much more notice because more people are fishing them because they are consistently good because you don't need the weed growth to create the fishing. So you've seen a shift from the guys that used to go to Houghton Lake. Now they're starting to fish Burt Lake, Mullet Lake, Black Lake. They're starting to fish some of these lakes, Torch Lake, Elk Lake, even though, you know, the lakes over by Traverse City. They're starting to put more time in those lakes because their weed fishery lakes that we used to love to fish have basically disappeared because the homeowners think it's more important to have no weeds than it is to actually have a fishery. So I think that's what's happening. I've seen a lot of guys fish those lakes that weren't fishing them before.
You know, and that really needs, and this is where teaching fishing comes in, because when you mention places like Torch Lake that are just infinitely deep and run cold water, I mean, when you're used to a place like Houghton Lake, very shallow, very weed heavy, it's a huge
different
change, man. You better do some studying with old Lance just to figure out what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. So, you know, obviously, you know, we've been teaching, you know, teaching fishing for 25 years in one form or another, and the process we teach, you know, of how to get some information before you go, how to understand what kind of bait fish are in the lake, how to understand where that bait fish is going to be, look at a lake map and kind of figure out some spots based on what kind of bait fish are in there at a time of year, and then kind of use your sonar to kind of figure it all out. And, you know, the process we teach doesn't vary from, you know, sitting in a farm pond chasing bluegills on a 5-gallon bucket through the ice or going 25 miles offshore and chasing sailfish. You know, fishing is fishing. And once guys learn the process, they can take what they know from one lake, apply it to another lake, and be successful fairly, fairly quickly. So it's fun to see guys kind of take what they know and, you know, go to a different place. I think that's part of the excitement that a lot of guys don't do enough in fishing, is they go to the same place, same time of year, every year, and it's the same crap. And they go, I want to be a better fisherman. Well, you're not going to be a better fisherman going to the same place doing the same thing. You need to be challenging yourself. You know, pick one lake a year that you haven't fished before and spend a weekend there. You may struggle. Fishing may be tough, but you are going to learn some things. You're going to learn new techniques. You're going to learn new locations. That I guarantee you that information is going to transfer to making you a better fisherman on the body of water that you do fish. So get a little adventurous next year. Plan a lake that you haven't been to. Grab a buddy who's serious about fishing and wants to learn. Spend 2 or 3 days at a place that you've never fished before. It doesn't necessarily need to be just a place you haven't fished before. It can be a different style of lake, right? You go to Houghton Lake, and right across the street is Higgins Lake. Two completely different bodies of water that have to be fished completely different. So you can get that experience close. You don't have to go a long way. But pick a lake next year that's different than what you normally fish.
All right, Lance Valentine, Teaching Fishing. One more segment with Lance. We're going to make a full hour with Lance.
Woo-hoo.
You know what? He's not going to go fishing for sure today, so hang on.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. The band Hello Dave. I don't even know if those guys are still together, but I still love that song no matter what. But remember way back when. They performed that song live for us here at the studios that we are in, and it was a lot of fun. And it's one of those songs that has stuck with us, and hopefully we've got some other people coming up musically, man. I've been talking with a few people that are nationally known and going to be nationally known musically. We're going to start incorporating them into the show because they are from Michigan, and they love the outdoors as much as we do. And, of course, you know, Ted Nugent's been on the show just recently here before we got into bow season. He was on show number one way back when, and 14 years later, he was on that anniversary show. So, and he said, you know, call me again. Like soon, so we're going to do that again soon. But right now, Lance Valentine from Teachin' Fishin' joining us here. Our friends at Not Just Guns, also Conquest Sense, and United Deer Farmers of Michigan, all putting this together so we can come to you on the Michigan Talk Network. And Lance, I think only two people have ever had the full hour. That would be you and Brian Brosdahl. Bro has been on here for a full hour, so a pretty limited class, I would say.
Well, top notch, I think, by the way.
I would concur. Hey, I would concur. Hey,
call Bro and tell him he finally did something that I've done. See what he says.
Oh, man. You know, we kind of needed this laugh today because we really did. We started out kind of heavy and a very important subject. But you know, when all is said and done, life is going to go on without us, and it's much too short to not have fun at what you're doing, you know, and to love what you do and to be able to teach people about what you love is very important. You know, I've been this lucky guy that's been able to sit behind a microphone, ask the best people literally in the world the questions that either people won't ask, afraid to ask, or will ask anyway. You know, and I have learned just so much in these 14 years from people like yourself and so many others that it's been such an honor, man. And, you know, and to keep going is kind of blows my mind.
It's kind of hard to sometimes fathom. You know, I still have this nightmare. I'm going to wake up one day and someone's going to go, my wife's going to go, hey, get up. And I'm going to put on a tie and a suit jacket and go back to work at the bank where I was.
You know, be Newhart.
The last 20 years has just been a dream. So it's really neat. And I think this year kind of really brought home kind of what we do. You know, I've worked really hard at not making what I do who I am, and there's reasons for that. Maybe someday when we're having a beer, I'll tell you some of those stories. But I realized through COVID that this is what I do. This is how I thrive, right? And we did. I think you saw a couple of them. You know, 7 o'clock every morning for 78 straight days. We did what was called Teachin' Fishin' Coffee Hour. We got up at 7. We got up, got on live Facebook at 7, and we chatted for an hour and 15 minutes every day through end of March through, you know, early May, like I said, 78 days in a row. And that saved my life. You know, I know that may sound corny, but knowing that I had people that I could talk to, we didn't just talk about fishing. And, you know, there were people who reached out and said, hey, this is, you know, one of the only reasons I get up in the morning. It's one of the things I look forward to. And, you know, there were days I got up at 6:45, walked next door to my studio at the office, did coffee hour, came back and went back to bed and didn't get up again until 6:45 the next morning. And I'm not ashamed to say that because, you know, during this spring, you know, it was okay to not be okay, I think, for a little bit. And what I do and the people I've met, I think you would say the same thing, the people I've met and the people I've contacted with saved my life. So it may look like it's fishing. It may look like it's a radio show. But when you do it right and you do it with compassion and passion in your heart for not just what you do, but the people that you do it for and with, it truly is something that changes lives. And it's not about the hunting or the fishing. It's about what the hunting and the fishing brings to your life, the people you meet, the places you go, the experiences you have. And that's, you know, that's what you do. I hope that's what we do. That's just what good people do with the opportunity to chase their passion for a living. So we try really hard at Teachin' Fishin' to do that, not just teach fishing, but make it about bigger things. And you know, you do that in your radio program, and the compassion and the passion for what you do and the people that you have on your show and the people that you're reaching. You wouldn't be around for 14 years if you didn't do it that way. So what we do, we look at it as a job sometimes. People look at it as just fishing or just a radio show. Don't ever let anybody tell you that. And I would tell your whole crowd out there, don't let anybody tell you that what you do is just.
Right.
You're not just a janitor. You're not just this. You're not just that. You can change lives with what you do by how you do it and how you approach it. So just be that person that makes a difference for somebody. just be that person every day.
Lance Valentine's our guest here from Teach and Fish, and you can find him on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Lance, you know, the one thing that may surprise everybody, well, I don't think it is. I think if you know me well enough, you know, throughout the course of my life, you know that you don't have to be a very good angler or a very good hunter to do a radio show, okay? You just don't. You don't have to be great at anything. Trust me, you just don't. I could show you pictures all day long as to how bad you can be and still be lucky, okay? Some of that stuff, there is some amount of acquired skill over the years that you have to incorporate. But believe me, there's a lot more luck involved in what I've done over the years than anything else. But I've taken what I've learned and you know, we've been very fortunate to a lot of times just have a conversation between a couple of friends that turned out to be the best radio I've ever been a part of.
Yep. That's the big thing, right? Take that with you to your deer blind. Take that, you know, stuff. I get so frustrated when I see guys post a fishing report. Didn't get any big ones today. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? I didn't get any big ones today. Our guy come down from the deer stand. Well, didn't see any deer today. Who cares? You were in a deer stand. You were probably with somebody, maybe at a deer camp, or maybe you're fishing with a couple bucks. Who cares that you didn't shoot a deer, or didn't see a deer, or didn't catch a big one? Does it really matter? I hope this spring, when we weren't able to do a lot of things that we do, really brought home how important these hours that we spend by ourselves in nature, or more importantly, with other people outside in nature, are so important to not just what we do as hunters and fishermen, but they're important to our soul. They're important to our life. They're important to our being. You know, they just, for those of us that love it, we have to do it. And stop worrying about the results. Spend more time to be in the minute, in the moment, and enjoying the process. That's the biggest thing I try to teach my guys. Enjoy the process. Enjoy learning a new technique. Enjoy learning a new lake. So why you only caught one? Who cares? Did you learn something new? Yep. Were you with your buddy? Yep. Did you have a good time? Yep. Great trip.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It's not about, as my friend Jeff Godey says, it's not about dead walleye. And the faster we realize that, the more we're going to enjoy what we do and the more it's going to mean to us. I'm going to tell you this. When we realize it's not about dead deer or dead ducks or dead birds or dead walleye, the more we're going to catch, kill, and see, because that pressure of making it about the result is gone. We're just enjoying the process.
Exactly. Lance Valentine from Teach and Fish and joining us here. You know, and during that conversation, Lance, I was thinking to myself, whatever level of normalcy we return to, whatever we considered normal, when we get back to that, we're going to look back and go, you know what? I really dug my time off, or damn it, I really should have done better with my time off. You know what I mean? I mean, it's gonna be one or the other. There's not gonna be any middle ground of the two, I don't think. It's either gonna be I really enjoyed that time, and I'm glad that I had that time with friends and family, despite all of the I'm just gonna leave this here rules that were in place. But you know, we had opportunities to do things. My wife and I were talking about we have been almost literally inseparable within maybe an hour or two a day since March. Yep. And we still, you know, have not killed each other, or, you know, we might've had like one or two good arguments, but I mean, that's when you can step back and go, yep, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
I'm with the right person. And yeah. And, you know, and I, we tried to encourage guys during, you know, the shutdown, when you know, a lot of our guys that we talked to weren't working, you know, we tried to encourage them. You know, if you didn't come out of this better than you were when you went in, you missed an opportunity. Now, I went through a really, really low time where I was really probably mm-hmm. the worst I've ever been. But when I finally got together and came out of it, I had time to study how to be better on YouTube. I had time to study some things personally I wanted to take care of. Hopefully, you took this time to get caught up on the things you wanted to do, get caught up on the things you wanted to read, get caught up on the things you wanted to watch. I told guys all the time, if you have a to-do list, and you've had this to-do list for whatever, it could be around the house or be personal or whatever, and you didn't cross it off during COVID, I'm going to tell you cross it off because it's not that important to you.
Absolutely. Lance Valentine?
If you didn't get to something during COVID, it's not that important to you. Put it out of your mind and forget about doing it.
Dude, as always, we appreciate you. Whole hour with Lance Valentine, teaching fishing. Link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks to everybody that just kind of puts up with this show. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns in Mason, Conquest Sense, United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Pick this up on the podcast. Thanks to Alex. They're up. They're going to be up. They're going to be ready for you. And stay safe, man. put your deer pictures on the Facebook page as well. We want to see them. And congratulations to Russ Bartell and Mike McGarry of Team Wild Michigan for bagging their bucks this year. We want to see yours here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.